This is Night Call. Broadcast live with host Russ Gibb and tonight's guest, Willie Hamilton, anti-poverty worker from the Watts area of Los Angeles. Tonight's subject, were the Los Angeles riots a Negro revolt? You participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Now here's Night Call host, Russ Gibb.
Hello, Night People. This is Gibb. Tonight we start a new series on Night Call, the Los Angeles Riots. Standing by in Watts is Negro, anti-poverty worker, and college student Mr. Willie Hamilton. Mr. Hamilton was born in the South and has spent the last several years of his life in Los Angeles. If you'd like to ask Mr. Hamilton a question on tonight's topic, were the Los Angeles riots a Negro revolt, or make a comment about the role of the Negro in Los Angeles or the role of the Negro in America, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, our national Night Call number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make that call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. Our Night Call operators are on duty, our lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. Mr. Hamilton, do you think that the average white man can ever understand what it is to be a black man?
Why, Russ, I think that question is very apropos. However, I don't believe that one can physically go from the body in which he resides into another phase, which is what he would do if he were to get an actual feeling of what the Negro is like. However, I do believe that once he is able to get rid of the guilt feeling that he has, the guilt complex that he's built up all of these years, and he is able to look past the color of a person's skin, then he will probably be able to sympathize to a large enough degree that he will be able to see past the skin that this is a person, a human being.
Well, now, Willie, are you saying to me that the white man has a guilt complex about being white?
Well, I don't know if he's got a guilt complex about being white. He has certainly given the Negro a complex about being black.
What do you mean, a complex?
Well, I think, of course, the Negro has an inferiority complex that he doesn't quite know how to handle. He doesn't quite know how to cope with it. For one reason, there has not been the training that the Negro has needed to understand himself, his surroundings, and why he is in the condition he finds himself. Now, as we get back to this complex, it is something that the white man did by creating the Negro. He did this to the Negro by keeping him in the Negro place. He has convinced the Negro that he is inferior by giving him inferior jobs, inferior positions, etc.
Do you think that the white man expects the Negro to play a certain role?
I certainly do. I think he typecast him. He stereotyped him. He cast him into one mode, and it seems to me he put him into this mode, and then all of a sudden he says, well, this is fine. We've got him where we want him. And then they seem to have looked up and say, well, my goodness, where did the Negro come from? And the point of the matter is he's been there all the time.
Well, what does it feel like to be a Negro, say, when you're walking down the street in Los Angeles? I mean, what difference, what different feelings would you have compared to myself? I happen to be white.
Yeah, well, I can only give you my typical feelings on the subject. And, of course, unless some incident occurs that causes me to think of my being a Negro, then I don't think of it at all. I go down Los Angeles and I think of myself as just another human being. And I don't even think of myself as a human being with the rights and a privilege. I first think of myself as a human being. However, if some incident or something comes to my attention then I feel that, well, I'm a Negro and I'm still in my place, quote, unquote. And these things bring this to my attention. However, some circumstance must happen to make me think this.
When you're walking down the street in Los Angeles, and we'll say you happen to throw a gum wrapper on the street, do you think that you'd be treated the same way as a white man? And we'll say a policeman is watching. Would you be treated the same way?
No.
How do you know you'd be treated differently?
How would I be treated differently?
Mm-hmm.
I think from the very word go, if this policeman is to stop me for throwing this wrapper or whatever it is I am doing that I have been found guilty or I'm to be talked to about, then the attitude, his very attitude towards me, his attitude and his approach to me, the way he will talk to me or at me, I shouldn't more correctly say, because from conversations that I've had with the policeman and I've had them myself, they more or less talked at you, or at least they did at me. And once again, that overriding, if you have one, and most Negroes do, this inferiority complex again comes to the fore. I'm going to be treated much different. I am not going to be given in the respect. If I'm over 21, I'm just going to be Willie. You know, it's not going to be Mr. or anything else. They're not going to give me any talking to or any lecture saying, Mr. Hamilton, you shouldn't enter the streets. And but this is the first offense. We're going to let you go. I'm not going to get any such consideration. It's going to be, Mr. Hamilton, you littered. That's so much and so fine. And I'll be given a ticket right there.
Well, now, have you had anybody put you down? Have you ever had a police officer put you down with your name, Willie Hamilton? Willie sounds Negro to many white people.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. But it was from an incident, actually, and the incident didn't go much further. I was coming from the movies one night, and I was running, you know, in a very good mood after seeing a very good movie. And so all of a sudden, about two police cars pull up, and I'm accosted on the streets, and they jump out, and they flash their lights on me, and they rush me up against the wall, you know, and they reach into my pocket, and I have these vitamin pills, taking vitamin C pills for my sinus, and they try that darnest to make something else out of it. They try to make those pills don't buy. I'm pretty sure this is what they were getting at. They never did actually come out and say that, but they kept sniffing the bottle and biting off and tasting to see whatever was going on, and they actually physically wrote my name, and they asked me if I had any sort of a record, and I told them no, I had no record, and they called down to the police force. I presume that's where they call. I don't know if they ever called or not. I presume they called there, and then he came back up to me and said, okay, but now we decided that we're not going to like this thing, that these are vitamin C, and I said, yes, indeed they are.
Their words. You were giving them the truth, but they wanted to check it out. Now, they might do this on a white person, too, though, wouldn't they, Willie?
Oh, definitely. I would think that they would, but not under the same condition, not under the same circumstances. For instance, I noticed one peculiar thing. I was stopped in this particular neighborhood in which I reside. The peculiar thing that struck me at the time was that these were all white policemen. This would never have happened to a person like this in Beverly Hills, not a white person. They would not have been accosted by Negroes like this. It's unheard of. Whites, yeah, but whites to whites, you see.
I see.
Not Negro to white.
Well, do you think that the white man would accept you to a greater degree, say your name was Mr. Wilbur Hamilton, and that you took on all the characteristics of the white man, save the color of your skin? Do you think that he might be willing to accept you then?
No, I don't really believe so. The matter of my name, I've gone through that before, where I've talked to people on the phone and I was almost assured of a position until I get there and they see my face. So you see, my name actually does not have too much to do with my acceptance or non-acceptance for a position or social acceptance or any type of acceptance at all. just because my name happens to be different. No, I don't think so.
Well, when they see your face, what happens in the sense? What do they say to you? I mean, how do they go around it? And well, they being myself, I guess, white people.
It's beautiful. Some of the techniques that some of these people use, I sometimes, after I've left the place, I think to myself that, my goodness, this person must have practiced this technique for years and years. They've got it down pat, I call it, you know. There's just no getting around it. They look at you and they say, well, yes, Mr. Hamilton. And,
Mr. Hamilton, now.
Oh, don't do that sometimes. Yes, Mr. Hamilton. And they say, well, I called you earlier, you know, about a position. And they say, yes, you fill out an application. Yes, I'll fill out an application. So I proceed to fill out this application, give them my best qualifications. And then I go into the interview, and the interviewer looks at me, and he'll say something like, oh, Mr. Hamilton, he says, you have very good qualifications. Not like I had a person tell me one thing, you've got the best qualifications of any person who's come in the last month for this job, but. And then it starts. They start wiggling and going around the mountain and some kind of chance. And, from the word but, I think the average Negro is now conditioned to know that the position has suddenly become filled, or they don't need anybody now, or something's going out of business, or some other mundane reason that will come up.
Well, Willie, we want to talk more about what it's like to be a Negro, and we want to get, of course, to the point of, you know, how did this... Did this have any effect on the Los Angeles riots? We want to see what the feelings were here. And we have a caller now standing by in Indianapolis, Indiana. A lady who is listening on WFBM. This is Mary Holman. Good evening, Mary. Speak right up. You're on Night Call, ma'am.
Yes. I'd like to know if there's any other Indianapolis.
Could you speak up a little bit, Mary, please?
Has he ever been to Indianapolis?
Have you ever been to Indianapolis, Willie?
No, I have not.
Well, perhaps we're different. In that, like you said, three dads, children, different daughters and a son in high school. And each one of them had a same image during the time they were there. Who was a Negro. And the second one, the first thing he asked, he said, you better be good because I know that you can do it. I went to school with them, and I am the president of a board of directors, and one of his friends wrote a letter saying that she thought, and she is very active, and a member of a large organization, saying that she thought that we were the people who were salvaged out of whatever has happened. A better understanding. Oh, the white people have to have a chance in some areas. And I don't think you can get what happens in California, what happens in New York, is what is happening. For instance, in Indianapolis, before I know about it. So we were desegregated long before the 4th, 4th, 6th. And I went into college homes and told them that their children coming to schools in the district, they were not going to be segregated. And the larger condition, that was better for them.
Willie?
Yes?
Have you ever had any experience in a small town? I mean, do you find... Okay, well, let's compare to New York.
We're small. But let's say you don't call half a million people small town.
Right. In fact, you don't call any town small. I think it's the people in it that we'd be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been to other towns.
Oh, definitely. Very definitely.
And is it the same way throughout the United States?
Oh, I would say so. I can start usually from where the problem started, and that is in the South itself. I was born in the South, and Montgomery, Alabama, to be exact. And from there, I lived in Greenville, Alabama. For a good portion of my life, and then I left there and I went to Youngstown, Ohio, and from there, to really get a good world view of the situation, I had a chance to travel while I was in the United States, and the inequalities are brought out so vividly there when you get a chance to actually leave the States and look at it from a little perspective.
Mary, I want to thank you for calling Night Call.
Well, I disagree with him, and I think there's a lot of other people who would. Perhaps that's why we're having some of that problem.
All right, thank you for calling Night Call.
Thank you.
Mrs. Mary Holman, a lady from Indianapolis, Indiana, listening on WFBM. Our guest tonight is Mr. Willie Hamilton.
He's a Negro. Our topic, were the Los Angeles riots a Negro revolt? You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Look, I'm quite self-sufficient. I made myself what I am, thank you.
But don't you think all of us occasionally could use a little divine,
Gee, I gotta run. Here's my card, anyhow. I'm a vice president now.
Well, good.
Yes, indeed.
But your name, it's just penciled in here.
Well, there's a big turnover in personnel. You know how it is.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just about how it is in life, isn't it?
Pardon?
We're all just penciled in.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Sometimes out on that limb without him. It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by the United Presbyterian Church. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, Night People. Our guest tonight is Mr. Willie Hamilton, a Negro. And we're talking on Night Call about what it's like to be a Negro in Los Angeles. And if you'd like to join us here on Night Call or ask a question of Mr. Hamilton or express your opinion, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, it's very easy to do. Just dial area code 313-846-6601. And if you wish, you may make that call collect. And our number again, area code 313-846-6601. Our operators are on duty, our Night Call lines are open, and we invite you to join us here on Night Call. What do you think about the Negro? Is he an invisible man, as some authors have suggested? And our last caller, Miss Mary Holman, suggested that many white people have Negro friends and that it's not as bad as Mr. Hamilton has pointed out or would have us believe in Los Angeles, that it's not as bad maybe in Indianapolis as he has given us to believe that it is in Los Angeles. Willie, what about this idea of having a Negro friend?
White people ever said this to you?
Oh, definitely. This is a very definite problem, and it's a sticky problem with the Negro. I think this is one of the problems that precipitated the Los Angeles riots. Not particularly that they were going around calling Negro friends and all this, but it was the thought that here in Los Angeles, this sort of thing could not happen, which is apparently what is Mary's attitude here. You know, she's saying that, all right, in Indianapolis, we don't go for that. Negroes are our friends, they're accepted, and the rest of it. But this is what they said about Los Angeles. There will never be a riot there, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And just the opposite of that happened. Now, this friends thing is sticky to the Negro. Now, and of course, the counter that I always have to that is, I wonder how many times Mary has ever said that she had a white friend, or that white friends, or, you know, because it's always used, usually, when you hear that word friend, you know a Negro is in the background somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, if you have a friend, you don't have to defend it to anybody.
You don't have to qualify it,
right.
Is what you're
Nobody
saying.
Nobody cares whether the person is Negro or Caucasian or Oriental or what. If this person is your friend, fine. Give the name, and you don't have to go around and give their color. I'm not interested. I could care less. If that's your friend, you must have had some mutual basis for your friendship. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to qualify it. What are you doing, justifying your friendship? It's not necessary. So I think that when Caucasians tend to say that some of my best friends are Negro, I wonder if they say some of their best friends are white.
Mr. Hamilton, we have a caller in Laramie, Wyoming now, listener on KOWB, Mr. Dale Lawler. Good evening, Dale. You're on night call, sir.
I'd like to direct a question to Mr. Hamilton.
Go right ahead, Dale.
I'd like to express it very carefully so that there won't be no misunderstanding. And granted that the white man in the United States has done some awful things to a lot of various minority races, and it seems to me that we can not blame anyone except the white man for the situation the Negro finds himself. However, it seems to me that there is a time in history where you must make a conclusion, and that is, one conclusion would be, let's not blame everyone for our fault, for the problem, for the situation we find ourselves now. Right or wrong, if we can assume our responsibility as an individual and say, well, I know how I got in the position I am. What am I going to do about it? Within certain limitations. Now, granted, in the South and in other areas, for example, the Negro cannot vote, and this is overcome. But there are certain places where the guy can say, I'm going to bring myself up. And, golly, I know it's really easy to blame other people, and rightly or wrongly. I say, ultimately, the only way the so-called Negro problem will be solved is when the Negroes themselves say, not going to blame other people, I'm going to go. And then I'd like to see them do this. What do you think about this, Mr. Hamilton?
Dale, that is an anyway. I think you have some very interesting points. However, you say some interesting things to me. You say, let's not blame everyone. That's pretty logical, too. But then you go ahead and you say that there are problems in our society today and that we can basically blame the white man for the problem. I must go along and agree with that. I do believe that Tahiti not only started this policy of racial prejudice, but he continued it. He placed the Negro in such a position that he could not do anything about it. He had inferior education. How could he get out? He was made to believe that he had everything. As a matter of fact, some whites across the country right today feel that the Negro has everything he wants. And this question always pops up to me all the time. Well, what else do you want? See, you have no conception of just how badly the white has hurt the Negro, because first of all, he stole his heritage and his history, and the Negro could not identify. He had no incentive. He had no incentive. This has been taken. Now, we always come to another interesting point in your thesis here about bring myself up. How would you suggest we do this? And then, again, you say Negro himself. How do you suggest we get around the white power structure, which is what controls, which is who controls? How do we do this? Because immediately when you have demonstrations, some of the whites will object to that, whether they be violent, nonviolent, or whatever. I guess they say, be nice and quiet, sit down, this problem is going to solve itself, and we all know that is not true. That is not realistic. We know that. So when the Negro gets up to try and do something about it, what happens? He's immediately branded as a radical and a communist. And of course, we all know about that word communism. It floats around loose to cover everything in America today.
Dale?
Right. Well, I agree with you, Mr. Hamilton. Doggone. I'm looking ahead, and I'm not saying that today is the time to do this, but I'm saying that ultimately this is the only answer. And I say it's a tragedy that we don't have voting in the South, and it's a tragedy that we don't have job opportunities. But, well, let's put it this way. I don't blame my parents for the way I am. I don't blame my teachers. And blaming other people, right, even if it is right, ultimately we have to assume our own responsibility. And doggone, maybe this is the time to do it, but I say ultimately this has got to be the answer.
Dale, thank you for your opinion.
Great.
And thank you for calling Night Call, Mr. Dale Lawler, gentleman from Laramie, Wyoming, listening on KOWB. A gentleman who basically is saying, let's get on with it. Saying to Mr. Hamilton, Mr. Hamilton, forget the past. Get on with the future. And of course, I think, Willie, you responded to the point that how can you forget the past? Because the future seems to be much of the same, isn't this basically what you're saying?
Definitely, Russ. It is so intertwined and interwoven. How can we get past it? We are what our environment makes us. We are, let me define personality to me as the sum total of all of our experiences. This, of course, includes things in the past, in the present, and things that we hope for in the future. We are what these things have made us be. We can be nothing else. We can't say. I think Keith, you got a good point. Now, I don't want to have people going around feeling that the Negro is using them as scapegoat. If the person has gone into his conscience, has come out and fully realized that he is prejudiced, but that now he has his prejudice in check, but he has them to a degree where he can control them, then we can have a workable solution. But to go into a room and sit down with a bunch of people who tell you the same things over and over, it lets you know that it cannot come from the Negro alone. He does not have the power. He is not in a position. And I was just thinking about the councilmanic posts in Los Angeles, 13, and 3 are held by Negroes. Now, what kind of a voice is that for the 500,000 Negroes in Los Angeles?
Yeah, but how many people do you have in Los Angeles?
An actual count of Negroes is over 500,000.
Well, but percentage-wise, wouldn't that be pretty representative? 3 councilmen out of, did you say 9 or 11?
13.
13?
Yeah, 3 out of 13. It's not very representative, I'm afraid.
Well, but on the total population is what I'm getting at.
Well, this is not how the Negro is going to be able to enforce anything on the basis of the total population. He is going to have to be in a position of influence, of power in the council. But just how much influence do these 3 have on the council? To show you the sharp division, it was pretty obvious during the riot that the Negroes in the council had very little authority, or they were thought very little of, because here the council was commending Chief Parker for his actions, which was not the time to commend anyone for any kind of action, because the smoke had even settled yet. And the Negroes tried to stop this, and nothing. No. And these people are Negroes. They're closer to the heart of the problem. And this,
well, can a white man ever be close to the heart of the problem?
I hope and pray so. I think the future of America depends on a whole change in his attitude on the whole social situation in America. I definitely hope so.
Well, if the white man changes, the Negro, and I think this is what Dale was getting at, is also going to have to change his attitudes, right?
Yes, very definitely.
Well, do you think that this can take place in America?
I think it will be years, but it can take place, yes.
Our guest tonight, Mr. Willie Hamilton.
A Negro. And we're talking about the Los Angeles riots and what it's like to be a Negro. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Well, I can't this Sunday. I'm playing golf, and the following Sunday I promise to take the kids to the beach.
Uh-huh.
Man's got to spend some time with his kids, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Besides, we seem to get along just fine without church. You know, it's up to the individual. Gee, look at the time. I got to run. But anyhow, we'll trot along to church one of these days.
Uh-huh. Well, how about 2 weeks from Sunday?
Oh, I never planned that far ahead. 2 weeks, the whole world could blow up by then.
That's right.
Where'd you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, gentle people. You're tuned to Night Call, and our guest is Mr. Willie Hamilton, a Negro. And when we were discussing earlier last week with Mr. Hamilton the topic for tonight's show and his qualifications to speak on the topic of the Negro Revolt, and particularly the Los Angeles riots, he said, just tell them that I'm a Negro. That's all the qualifications I need. And I thought that was pretty interesting, Mr. Hamilton. And if you'd like to ask Mr. Hamilton a question or make a comment about the Negro in America or what it's ask him a question as to what it's like to be a Negro, give us a call here at Night Call. Now, our national number is area code 313-846-6601. Now, remember, you may call from anywhere collect. Please make that call station to station. Our Night Call number, area code 313-846-6601. And we're interested in you. What's your opinion? After all, that's the purpose of Night Call. Give you an opportunity to express your opinion. You don't have to agree with us. We have no axe to grind. We just want people to understand that we value their opinion. Your opinion, for that matter. So it's area code 313-846-6601. Mr. Hamilton, I have a caller in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Listener on KXEO, Mr. Mike Leroy. Good evening, Mike. You're on Night Call, sir. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Mike, you're on Night Call. Your comments, please.
This is Mike. This is Reba Glenn.
I'm sorry, Reba. And this is a gentleman out in Denver.
That's all right. Mr. Hamilton.
Yes?
I would have to disagree with you on a couple of things here. Number one, you referred to the complex that our people have today. You refer to yourself as a Negro. I think that we must get away from those, the term of referring to ourselves as a Negro. I think we must go back to the basic foundation of ourselves and recapture ourselves. We are not Negroes. We are black people. I think that this is where the complex have a tendency to linger on in the black race that are here in America today. I think once you and I stop referring to ourselves as Negroes and refer to ourselves as black people, I think the young people will walk the streets of life much quicker and more freely with a sense of dignity and self-respect. Number two, you said that we were not strong enough today to stand alone. I think that the reason we're not strong enough is the fact that we're trying to go in too many different directions. I think that if you and I would unite on the basis of what we have in common and stop blaming the Caucasian race for what has happened in the past, we realize that they have been wrong in many cases. But we must not slum and sleep and look back down this dark and dreary road. We must try and do something for ourselves in this future. And the best way to start doing that is for you and I to unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is a good example is what happened there in California. The people were oppressed, and they were trying to get attention, and they wanted a different life. They wanted to live much more comfortable and pleasant. And the only thing they knew to do to attract attention was to rebel. And I think that they was in their lawful right, and I sympathize with them 100%. And I think that the main thing that we need now as a minority group in this country is unity. We must stop looking at ourselves as Baptists and as Protestants and as Muslims and as many other things. We must look at ourselves as a oppressed people, as a black race of people here in this United States. Do you have any comments?
Yes, you'd be surprised to know that I have several.
I'm not surprised, Willie.
You say Negro to you want us to change that now to black?
No, I don't want you to change. I have never said change. There's nothing to change. That's the Negro, the word Negro itself means black. Why should you go around the roundabout way and come into the part? We are black people.
Well, if it means the same thing, well, it's different. Caucasian means white, too. So what, you want them to drop Caucasian? Is that what you're saying?
I'm not interested in what about the Caucasian. I'm interested
you're
in
not?
You and I.
Yes. But I think you have to consider more than you and I. Of course, if
well, we're not debating the Caucasian. We're debating the so-called Negro.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, you say the so-called Negro, and yet you say it means the same thing as black. So I can't understand you, but we won't get into that. But the connotation to me is one and the same. However, I agree with you on one specific point, and that is the unity. I believe that we should unite. But I feel also that you were inconsistent in some of your statements, and I shall go into it. You said that we have something in common, the people in Los Angeles, that they were oppressed. Well, apparently the people were oppressed, and they rose up to a degree as to call 38 lives, to cost 38 lives.
That's nothing.
In a peaceful America.
That's nothing.
And apparently they blamed something or someone. If not their past, then they're blaming the present condition, which comes out of the past. Now, so you're saying let's not keep on blaming these people for these things, and yet they are keeping us in the same predicament, the same condition.
Well, you know why?
We have always been in.
You know why?
Why?
Because you're willing to let them keep you there.
Who's willing? Now, you're making a general statement.
No, yes. Well, actually, a lot of... Now, number one, you would classify yourself, to my way of saying it, as an intellectual, right?
I would suppose so.
Okay. This is the trouble now with the intellectuals. They
right,
get up there, and instead of telling the poor oppressed people what they should tell them, they beat around the bush. You know how people are lacking for education in many fields. They are lacking for the real truth. We must tell the black people the truth. They are still searching. They are in the dark today. They need someone to tell them the best direction in which to go. And I don't think that you, as the intellectual, are doing this. Go ahead, sir.
That's very interesting. However, I'm going to something...
Willie, I think he accused you, basically, of being an Uncle Tom.
I think that's what he did.
Exactly right, sir.
However, I'll...
Well, let's get on to that. That's interesting. I think we better explain what an Uncle Tom is.
Well, I'll skip that for a moment, Russ, and I want to get back to this part, then I'll get to that. He said this part about, he sympathized with us, and that he felt that they had a right to riot.
I agree
with him wholeheartedly. No one has a right to riot, to burn, to steal, to loot, to kill. No, you don't have that right. I don't believe we have that right. It is not given to us. That is a divine right. We don't have the right to steal and to kill. It's
what
ours.
You,
it's
what are you
the
saying?
Power above ours.
What are you saying now? You mean that we must sit back and be quiet and die away?
How far do you think we would get in this country with that type of action?
Well, sir, I tell you, how far do you think you're going to get when you are on your hands and knees crawling to the back door and begging for a biscuit?
And sure, who is on his hands and knees?
For today, nothing but a token handout.
Who is on his knees and who is begging?
And I'm sick of this. All of these people out here in the streets, it's time out for free demonstration. It is time out for free demonstration now. It's time to move on to something more constructive. And the best way, the reason why the average so-called intellectual is afraid to stand up and demand what he wants in this country, the best way we can go about it now is pool our resources and unite and do for ourselves. The money that we have thrown away in the streets, we have thrown away enough money to build restaurants, hotels, and stores, and employ many people. But no, we're too willing to give it back to the Caucasians, the sheriffs, and let them idle up our brains and things of this nature. We must put a stop to this nonsense stuff as of now.
Are you then advocating the separation of the races along with this?
Sir, I'm advocating doing for ourselves. And that is all I'm asking.
If this includes separation of races.
If it takes that, yes, sir.
Do you think that will ever come to pass in the United States?
Sir, I don't know what's going to come to pass in America. To be bluntly with you. With the attitude and the pace that people of your caliber are traveling, God only knows what the outcome will be.
Mr. Blanchard,
yes,
I want to thank you for your opinions. And thank you for calling Night Call.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Evan Blanchard, a gentleman from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLM. Mr. Blanchard believed that the Negro has a right to riot and that he must be strong in his efforts to gain equality Mr. Hamilton, I had the feeling that you were being put in a position that you were not used to being put into, because I think a lot of people think of you as a rather militant Negro.
Yes, I was rather amazed by the man's attitude of calling me an Uncle Tom. It's an interesting thing. However, the one question that I wanted to ask him was just exactly what does he think the intellectual role should be?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yes.
And, listen, I'll give you about a minute to answer that one. Because you've got a lot of calls backed up here.
All right, fine.
You want to answer that question? What is the role of the intellectual?
Well, I think it is somewhat of what I am trying to do now, to promote understanding in the way that he can, through the medium which we have not used in the past, because they have not been open to us. Say radio, TV, the newspaper, magazines, any sort of periodical that we can get into and reveal what we feel. It's going to be a lot of other things, too, because from this group, this intellectual elite, so to speak, we must come our leaders. And we can't just throw out any type of leaders, because the person that's going to lead will be probably a person of the caliber of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he is the only person that I know of intellectual capability to sway a large segment of the Negro population. And we can't just have intellects just because they're intellects floating around telling people what to do. They must be qualified. And how we get the criteria for this is difficult.
Mr. Hamilton, you'll recall that we had a little mix-up on the calls there, and Mr. Mike Leroy from Grand Junction, Colorado, is still on the line listening on KXEO, and I think we'll go to Mike now. Mike, thank you for being patient, and welcome to Night Call.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to ask a question that I gathered now. I'm not sure. Does Mr. Hamilton think the answer to the Negro problem right now is today's demonstration?
Are you asking me that?
Yes.
I think that's part of the answer, yes.
You think it is? I'm not a Negro, but I believe that you are entitled to every right that any other citizen of the United States has. But do you ever get so infuriated with the situations in the world that you feel like rioting?
That was not a demonstration. That was a riot. Let's not confuse the two.
There's a difference between demonstrations and riots, right?
Yes.
Mike, do you agree to that?
Yes, there's a difference.
Now, let me see if I understand. You're asking Mr. Hamilton, really, what he feels as to whether or not the riots or the demonstrations are correct.
The first question was demonstrations. Now I'm asking if he personally ever gets so infuriated that he feels like rioting.
Oh, I see. Willie?
That's a very interesting question, Mike.
That's
first
a good one.
Of it, demonstrations, they must of necessity serve a purpose. I think we have to have them. Because it is the goal of demonstration that we must look at now. As to how far demonstrations go, that is something else. As to riots, personally, no. I have never felt that I wanted to riot. No. That has never, ever occurred to me. Even when the riot was going on, and believe me, Mike, I had the best chance in the world, right in the middle of the thing, in the heart of the battle, so to speak. If anybody should have battle scars, then I should have them, because I was in the area for those 3 days of history, and it never dawned on me once that I want to get out there and take part in that. Never. No.
Mike?
Yes. I know that the Negro has been kept from his rights for such a long time now that they hate to see any more time go by before they're given their proper rights and freedoms in the United States. But don't you think it'd be a good idea for the Negroes to sit back and educate and prepare themselves for the future and then make their move?
Do you think that would be a good idea, Mike?
Well, I think that they need to be more prepared. There's just too much lacking now. I think if they all came forward, you know, as an educated group, even though they've waited these years and years, let them get their education and then come forward as an educated group and fight on equal terms, so to speak.
Mike, by being equal, do you mean that the Negro should act like a white man? Should he lose his Negro identity?
I think that all people are created equal and that there should be no difference between a Negro and a white person, really, because both are men.
Well, now, would you suggest that instead of educating the Negro,
that we might educate the white man. In other words, maybe we ought to learn, maybe we ought to have names like Willie, as it were. And I guess everybody named Willie is going to hate me tonight, but I'm just using this as an example.
Oh, definitely, that there's, in some sections of the country, that white people have to be educated also. But this is going to take time, too. And of course, they've used a lot of time, but I think some more time is needed before they start staging these mass demonstrations that this last man mentioned.
Mike, I want to thank you for calling NICOL, and thank you for your opinions. Mr. Mike Leroy, a gentleman from KXEO, radio station out there, and I guess Mike is with that radio station, listening in Grand Junction, Colorado. Our guest tonight is Mr. Willie Hamilton.
He's a Negro, and we're talking about the Los Angeles riots and what it's like to be a Negro. You're tuned to the Night Call Network.
This is Night Call, where you participate by calling Night Call's national phone number, 313-846-6601. Host Russ Gibb will return in 70 seconds with more Night Call.
Busy America! Busy America! Busy making money, busy buying gadgets, busy keeping up with you know who.
Is that your idea of fulfillment?
Don't you wonder if there's more to life than just that rat race with no finish line? Where you get the idea you could make it all by yourself? Doesn't it get a little lonely sometimes out on that limb without him? It's a great life, but it could be greater. Why try and go it alone? The blessings you lose may be your own.
The preceding was presented by your Council of Churches. This is Night Call, and here is host, Russ Gibb.
Hello again, night people. Our guest tonight is Mr. Willie Hamilton. He's a Negro, and we've been discussing some of the feelings, some of the emotions, some of the thoughts of white men and Negro men. And if you'd like to join us here at Night Call, our number is area code 313-846-6601, and we invite you to express your opinion on Night Call. Area code 313-846-6601. And remember, you may call us collect. You may reverse the charges if you wish. And Mr. Hamilton, I have a caller now, Mrs. Egha
Horvath from Denver, Colorado, a listener on KTLM. Good evening, Mrs. Horvath. You're on Night Call.
Good evening.
Your comment, please.
How are you, Mr. Hamilton?
Fine, how are you?
Wait till I turn my radio down, please.
Okay. The lady's going to turn.
Can I hear you? Just a minute, please.
All right. The lady's going to turn down her radio now, and we suggest that when you do call in Night Call, that when you get on the air, that you do turn that radio down. In fact, if you turn it off, it's even better. If you keep it up, we get a feedback problem. However, with our new equipment that will be coming along one of these days, I think all of us are going to be amazed at some of the technical advances that we've made in our new Night Call equipment. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Mrs. Horvath.
Waiting, Mr. Hamilton.
Will you express your opinion, please, ma'am?
I want to thank you a lot for waiting till I turn my radio off.
Okay, thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I can't hear you very well. I am fine. But I adore you and love you for your stance. And, they talk about the Negro. They don't want to do anything with Negroes. Why do they take all these foreigners in here and they'll give us now these Cubans are coming in here. You know yourself, Mr. Hamilton. You know like I do. They have them for sabotage. They're coming in here from Fidel Castro. You know. Sabotage the country, ruin the country. They're taking the jobs away from the Negro. They were worthless than we were worth for. What is your American Negro going to do?
Well, there's a good question.
That's a very interesting question.
Mr. Hamilton?
I think that question should be directed, first of all, probably to the white power structure.
What do you think?
I think that question should be more probably directed to the white power structure. I have never personally understood.
Can you take
that? Beg pardon?
Mrs. Horrid, may I suggest that you go back to your radio now and that you hang up your phone and that you listen to Mr. Hamilton's answers on the air? I think you'll be able to hear a little bit better.
I cannot hear him.
Okay, if you'll go to your radio and then hang up your phone, I think you'll be able to hear his comment.
I want to talk to you more.
Well, I think we're going to have difficulty if you can't hear us, Mrs. Horrid.
I would like to talk to him.
Well, go ahead.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes?
I would like to know, there are a lot of Negroes and poor people in the United States don't have jobs. And why do they want to put the Negroes down? Why do the American Caucasians want to put the Negroes down and put killing or somebody else above him?
Well, that was a question that Mr. Hamilton's going to address himself. Too now. Willie, will you answer that question and we'll see if we can clear this line up for Mrs. Hoyt. Will you check
this? Can I talk to Mr. Hamilton, please?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Willie?
Yeah,
we'll see if we can clear that line up.
I think she, a very interesting question. I've never quite understood it myself, and I don't know the answer. As I told her, I think the answer is more properly directed to the white power structure. I don't know why these Cubans can come over here and get preference. I don't know why I have to go over in Vietnam and die, and I can't get respect in this country. I don't know. I don't know why the culture that the Negro has given to this country has been buried, has not been recognized, has not been used, has been perverted. I really don't know, but I think it's a very valid question. I think it's time that we start thinking about it. When foreigners can come to this country and have more rights than citizens who were born here, even though we're only citizens by law, then this is a question that is interesting to me, and it brings up another interesting question. I was thinking when she said about job opportunities, I was wondering about my chances because I'm interested in going into radio. And I had an instructor who constantly told me that I'd never make it in big-time radio because of my Negro dialect. And I constantly told him that I thought the Negro dialect was a part of the Negro culture, the Negro heritage, and I had no intention of ever trying to get rid of it. And I remain true to that to this day, and I think it hinges a lot on what the lady says about the Cuban refugees coming over here. I'm just wondering how much farther back now are my chances of being on radio than they were before these Cuban got here.
It's an interesting question. I wish I could give you an answer. Maybe some of our listeners could comment on that. And we have a listener out in Indianapolis now, listener on WFBM, Mr. Richard Hampton. Good evening, Richard. You're on Night Call. Your comment, sir.
Good evening. I'd like to say to Willie,
yes,
as well in California, we do have the same problem here in Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
is that the Negro is stigmatized by the fact of his color. I work for an insurance company, and I worked for an insurance company going on 4 years. And the work and the ability that I have has been successful because I'm the only man that has been in the office that period of time that still lives.
Well, are you a Negro, Dick?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen the ways in which the other fellows they bring in get promoted, but being a Negro, I have to stand back because of my color.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, this company has over 90% of the people that are insured by this company are Negro. So you can see our representation is very minute when it comes to management.
Very interesting, Richard. May I say this, too? I'm so happy that you brought this up. This is one of the primary conditions that exist in Watts. And to me, it's such a ridiculous situation. Well, you have 90% of the employees in a store are Negro. Over 90% are of the Negroes and their customers, you see. And 1%, that 1%, just about 1%, you'll find a Caucasian in there, but he'll be the supervisor. Not
right.
The 90% of the Negroes.
Right. And
it's one of the problems here in Watts.
And as you said, previously, if you speak of, you're a radical, or you're communist.
That is correct.
Or you're stating in a sense you're a person that causes trouble, so then you're immediately terminated.
That's right.
At that time.
That is correct.
Then anywhere else you go, you're called a troublemaker, so forth of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had several good Negroes leave this company and go to other companies to become successful, but yet the type of recommendations they got stated that they were nothing but troublemakers when all they wanted was an opportunity to go ahead and move up like the normal white man wants to move up in his profession. And all we ask is the opportunity to, not because of our color or the way that we talk, but given our position, that's rather discouraging, especially in this part of the country.
Well, Dick, I want to thank you for expressing your opinion. We have another caller on the line, and thank you very much.
Okay.
Mr. Richard Hampton, Negro gentleman from Indianapolis, Indiana, a listener on WFBM. Mr. Hamilton, can I ask you one more question? You've got about 30 seconds to give me an answer.
Okay.
Do you think that the Negro and the white man can ever find common ground for living together? And I underline the word together.
Yes, I think in this modern day of technological advancement, I think we must. We have got to have unity, as the gentleman was speaking of earlier, not only among the Negroes, but with the Caucasian and the Oriental segment of our population, and the Mexican-American, and even the Indians. I feel that we can have a common ground, because when we finally get around to the communication, then we find out that our hopes, our aspirations, and our dreams are the same, then we'll have a meeting of the minds.
Thank you for being our guest on Night Call, Mr. Willie Hamilton. Tomorrow night, we continue our week-long look at the Los Angeles riots. Our guest will be the Reverend Cornish Rogers. Our topic, can we ever accept Negroes as human beings? Until then, this is Gibb wishing you good luck and Godspeed.
Night Call is produced by the Methodist Church in cooperation with the National Council of Churches and this radio station. As a radio forum dedicated to the frank discussion of vital issues of daily life. Night Call encourages its participants to express freely and responsibly their own personal opinions.